Sunday Meditation, March 19th, 1995. Our question this evening has to do with absolute reality and relative or personal reality. We're wondering a number of things about these concepts. If it is possible for a person to transmit his or her personal reality to another person, is it possible or desirable? Is it possible for us to transcend our personal reality, to take part in the ever-changing nature of the way we perceive the universe about us? Is there a value in this? Is there any way that we can know with some degree of certainty if we're dealing with what is true and what is real? And what is your preferred perspective upon reality and truth?
We are known to you as those of Ukuo. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. It is our privilege and our blessing to be able to blend our vibrations with your own at this circle of seeking. We are grateful that you desired to call us to you, for by doing so, you enable us in our chosen path of service to the one infinite creator. Thus, you give us precious treasure, and we humbly thank you. If those opinions which we share at this sitting do not sit well with you, we request that you leave them behind, for we are not authorities. We are neighbors walking the same path, perhaps a few steps ahead. That is all. Thusly, we ask each to use his own discrimination and to accept truth for the self when it comes with that characteristic feeling that this is something that you knew all along and have just now remembered. May we say that the topic which you have chosen for this sitting is a difficult subject about which to speak plainly. The structure of your language, the words which make up its arsenal of weaponry for reaching the truth, are weapons or tools created for conquering decision-making within your physical world. they become quite blunt instruments when one is attempting to speak concerning metaphysical reality or any consideration of apparent reality and real reality. With apologies for those limitations, we cannot help. And with your continued discrimination, we shall attempt to share some thoughts concerning this interesting subject. The first level, that of apparent reality, is the level which those within this room would call a consensus reality or life as it is. This manifestation, as intricate and rich as it is in texture, is but the onion skin skimming the surface of an infinite well of being, as each opens the eyes upon that common or consensus environment, one finds the match of senses and objects, the creation into which humankind is born is that one which has been made relevant to humans. The creation of the Father, that second density creation of love, in third density becomes a co-creation between Creator and yourselves. And as humankind has worn the round trail in walking many cycles of experience, those many, many footsteps walking that same circle of manifestation again and again, have worn certain biases so smooth with age that they seem more real, more deeply relevant than other common experiences of humankind. And as each sits within this domicile, listening to these words, each is a repository of perhaps half simple sense impressions, and the other half constructions upon those sense impressions created by what this instrument would call world opinion. In other words, the onion skin of the visible and seen existence though very tough and resistant to puncture, is quite thin. And the entity with a sharp needle of selfhood simply pierces that onion skin to move into the depths of that ocean that is being or consciousness. Now, there are clues and hints in plenteous supply, even within your everyday reality, if you would call it that. There is enough information that lies like litter about every doorpost in the ordinary of things to create catalyst which produces the most excellent manifestation, the most complete transformation, the most satisfying epiphany for those seekers who are called to such a ministry. The everyday and ordinary surface holds every tool and resource necessary for utter realization and clarification of being. However, most seekers prefer not to work with the ordinary and everyday, but rather to seek that which underlies or overshadows or surrounds the everyday and the ordinary. The depth and reality of the being below the surface fascinates and attracts the seeker, who is not content to be lost in bliss, gazing at the dust, at the leaves, at the air, but wishes to know more about himself or herself, which is to know how deep that self may go. Is she truly other than the everyday? What is his truth? What is her mission? The voyagers attempting to sail into that ocean, which is the deep mind, are seeking a truth that moves beyond limits into the ineffable. Within each seeker's mind and heart, these voyages are chosen in a darkness, a blackness of shadow. And as sails are set, they are set through faith or hope. And the voyager must trust the wind, must simply raise that sail, which is desire, and then wait patiently for the wind of spirit to fill that sail and to determine the course and the weather of the journey. The seeker within metaphysical or time-space reality is as the miner who wishes hidden treasure. In fact, that treasure is cunningly and cleverly hidden. Within the self, within deep memory, yet that which is true of the metaphysical universe is true in a systematic or processional way, so that the seeker who travels in this dark and shadowy sea becomes more aware only after much experience of simply sailing about upon metaphysical waters. The truth comes into consciousness more like a scent, an aroma is detected, and the nose follows that scent and takes you to the bubbling pot of delicious food. Seeking within the metaphysical realm is of that nature. You simply must follow your intuition, which is the olfactory organ of the metaphysical universe. And we may say to the one known as Nobu, we certainly hope that we have a pleasant smell. Now, the one who seeks upon the onion skin a perceived reality, and the one who seeks delving deeply into infinity and eternity, have in common that they are dealing with illusion. We also deal with illusion. It is our limited and perhaps faulty understanding that all is illusion except the one great original thought, which is love. If there is a you who is seeking that collection of energies that is you, is an illusion. If there is no illusion and only reality, that reality does not know itself, for it is one. Ironically enough, then, free will dictates that anyone who seeks, by virtue of being an entity, seeking, is seeking an illusion. Each sees illusion. But further, each is illusion. The manifestation that is each is an illusion. The personality that seems so deep and strong is an illusion. The photon itself that builds out of light all of the physical universe is illusion. We are illusion. All that can speak is illusion and distortion. What we believe occurs is that through the densities, more and more of the whole or entirety of all that is becomes known. And the seeking soul familiarizes itself with progressively denser illusions, that is, illusions more filled with light and more articulate of truth. Yet at the point where the entity has balanced love and wisdom and integrated those blessings to become one, then it is finally that such entities turn away from manifestation and release all personality in order that they may become again the truth. Not that a seeker may know it, but that it may be it. to move back into the density in which you now find yourselves, each within this room is aware that it has come seeking the center of things, seeking truth, yes, seeking balance also, and seeking companionship, for truly, companions along the way are the greatest blessing of the spiritual path. The object of third density is, we feel, the making of a certain choice, a choice of paths. This choice is not simply a verbal one or a mental one. In order for this choice to be made so that the entity within has truly chosen, is that choice made within the fire of unknowing, within that chasm where there is no footing, but only air. The process that seekers go through in order to attain a firmly made choice is not an intellectual process, nor even an intellectual emotional process, but rather it is as this instrument would say, a journey from head to heart. So that it matters not so much whether one sees clearly, as it matters more that one may desire more clearly. To hone the edge of the thirst for truth is to improve that search in its efficacy. Again, it is not what the seeker knows, but what the seeker desires. That creates the character of the distortions that the seeker is likely to settle upon as being that which is the least distorted version of truth. Once it has been accepted that all truths are to some extent distortions of a truth that is ineffable and unknowable, then there is perhaps an easier and more relaxed attitude towards this process of knowing the truth. If all things are shadows, if all things are to some extent not what they seem, then the heart is free to open in pure desire to whatever truth it may pick up with its various antennae, which it does not know it has, but which the being that lies within knows well how to use. Thusly, the great tool of intuition and hunch and feeling is to be praised within the spiritual seeker. For these whimsies often are the result of the mind's making connections intuitively that make no intellectual or logical sense. Consequently, we encourage each to follow the hunches and to refrain from being concerned, particularly as to whether or not that hunch is a whim or a true intuition. It is our bias to feel that for each entity, this searching for a more real reality is an entirely private matter. Each entity's journey is unique, for each entity is unique. Thusly, entities such as yourselves may sit about the circle and find many points of overlapping concept, but find also that in each entity there are concepts and constructs or processes of concepts that are not repeated from person to person to person. Yet those differences are not only acceptable, but desirable. For the work of each entity and the truth of each entity is unique. The entity that you now are has processed millions and billions, untold amounts of sense impression, and through many cycles of experience, many incarnations, and not one or two densities, but three. Each tiny building block of self, each input that changed the contents, has sifted and compacted and built up through the many, many incarnations of a long life to the point where you are you, sitting now, listening, to this instrument's voice. Your path has its own characteristics, and you will find truth in a way shaped by the choices you have made. We cannot advise any as to whether to choose the deep, deep delving for self and truth then being found, or that process of seeking which this instrument often experiences, which is that of seeing the sacramental in the ordinary and everyday. What is important in each seeking is the validity and the purity of the choice made whenever there is an issue involving service to others versus service to self. So we do not feel that one view of reality will intrinsically place one in a better position to know truth than another. It is the usual way for entities in third density to do the seeking and delving into the depths of self. And it is, at the same time, quite valuable and a valid path to follow the ordinary and to find within it all that there is, the love that is that one great original thought. Let your personality and your preferences guide you. For it is, as we said, not important that you go this way or that, but only that the choices made are made with a full heart and a love in the doing. And always, when dealing with these relative matters, we encourage the glance away the more serious and caught up that one gets in pursuit of the perfect ideal or the absolute truth, the more knots one is likely to tie in one's own mind and thinking. Therefore, let your intensity be balanced by what this instrument calls the light touch. And always, we encourage each to respect the paths of others. this is not the same thing that is respecting the constructs of others. As attempting to transmit one's own vision to another. In fact, the respect for another's viewpoint may well cause one to listen to what that entity has to say, rather than attempting to improve the other entity's thinking. For that entity may have much to offer to you. Needless to say, the service to others entity is looking for ways to serve others. And often it is a real temptation to try to share with another some crystal vision or beautiful picture of things that may help another as it has helped you. And it is not a mistake, precisely, to go ahead and offer advice. However, there is an innate respect which we would encourage for the free will of others and the rightness of the prohibition against infringing upon free will. When attempting to share the truth with others who are seeking, let the attempt be to remain fully open and we are having trouble giving this concept to this instrument. Fully open and vulnerable to the other entity's thoughts. This frame of mind creates a place of safety for the other person, in which that entity may communicate her feelings to you. And in allowing her the space and the ear to hear this verbalized inner dialogue or monologue, you have aided that entity in understanding itself. Such is the value of the truly listening ear. It is far better to restrain oneself to that practice than to jump in and attempt to proselytize. However, when questions are asked, it is perfectly acceptable to give all your energies in giving your best answers. For there is great blessing for both when two are vulnerable to each other, and thus able to aid each other and to become closer. We realize from the sound of your machine that we are being wordy again, and this instrument is asking us to wind things up. However, we wish to make one last point, and then we shall certainly do so. That is, wind things up for this instrument. And that point is this one. The creation or world into which you came, this very one, with its apparent differences, is the environment within which you shall find the truth. This world and no other . This illusory dream world, this twilight, is the absolute best environment possible for creating the opportunities for entities within third density to learn what it is to be aware, and to learn what it is to love and be loved. Graduation from this density occurs when the entities have chosen how to love, how to relate to loving and being loved. And that is something which may be arrived at, as we have said, through the mystical appreciation of the ordinary, and or through the deep delving into those regions of the mind which are more profound than the conscious. State of mind. So as always, the Creator offers a palette of many, many different, shall we say, colors, many different ways to arrive at the point of love, and breathless with it, to find that the self is loved, has always been loved, always shall be loved by love itself. And in that perceived love, each pilgrim soul may more and more dare to love wholeheartedly, indiscriminately, and gloriously, the deepest truth that we know is love. The Creator is love. You are love. That has become visible. And you are able to express within the medium of your world that love which you have found within. Love each other. Care for each other. And in that giving and taking, each shall know the truth. We would at this time leave this instrument and transfer to the one known as Jim. We thank this instrument and would leave in love and light through this instrument at this time. We are those of Makuo.
I am Kuo, and greet each again, in love and in light, through this instrument. It is our privilege at this time to ask if there might be any further queries for us from those gathered here. Is there another query?
Ricardo, you spoke about temptation. I would like to know how can we distinguish temptations that's offered to the self
I am Kuo, and am aware of your query, my sister. We recommend that when the seeker feels any kind of confusion as to whether there is temptation or opportunity upon its path, that it look as clearly as it can with the conscious mind at that which stands before it. Then, within the meditative state, look again with the deeper intuitive feeling mind and ask again if this is what is appropriate as the next step upon the journey. Is there a further query, my sister?
Yes. Since we're talking about reality, it seems that in third density experiences, sometimes you have a certain experience which the third density personality may interpret as a certain way, but with the passage of time, the experience, the result of it, seem quite contrary to what one thought expected in conscious memory. In other words, reality to the self at times seems quite opposite of what it had perceived. It had changed through time. Could you comment on that? Is that the purpose that the third density personality has to learn something, or, you know, it's quite complex. He just, you know, gave an hour of nature of reality. But, you know, when we encounter such a situation, how can we distinguish, you know, what the third density personality desires and what actually, you know, comes upon the seeker's path?
I am Kuo, and we believe that we grasp your query, my sister. Please query further if we do not. We would suggest that all which any entity perceives, as we said previously, is illusion. For if there is the perceiver and the perceived, there is illusion. For all in truth is one. As each seeker moves through its own personal illusion, seeking that which it can of truth, it will perceive as best it can. We always recommend retiring to the meditative state for the clearest possible perception and indication of direction, even though we realize that here as well lies illusion. The nature of this journey seems to be the moving from greater to lesser illusion in what you might call the long run or way of viewing experience. In this process, when it is functioning efficiently, there is the clarification of experience, of perception, and of desire to seek further. Thus, it would be expected that one could look, as you would say, back upon experience and see more clearly the nature of the experience as being more or less true or partaking of that which is real. Thus, we say to each seeker, value that which you have experienced. Build upon it as best as you can, and seek always the heart of love within each entity and experience, knowing that you shall, even with the best and greatest of efforts, misperceive greatly and frequently. This is why we say that the qualities of faith, that there is a greater reality, and will to persevere in sifting through the lesser experience of reality, are those qualities which shall be of most aid along the path of the seeker of truth. Is there another query, my sister?
That is fine. Thank you.
I am Kuo, and we thank you, my sister. Is there another query, my friends?
I would like to ask, is it true that there is an immaterial soul? And is this what we are in our innermost beings, souls?
I am Kuo, and we believe that we grasp your query, my brother. We can say to you, my brother, that each entity that moves with free will has moved along patterns of incarnation for eons of time, as you would measure it, and in this movement has had what you may call the soul or lingering spirit's experience, which has gleaned the harvest of each incarnation and has grown by each harvest, and in addition sends forth itself into countless further illusions in order that it might accrete to it more of the one Creator's attributes which it feels are necessary and helpful in returning to the unity of all that is. Is there a further query, my brother?
In returning to the unity of all that is, are you referring to the seventh density merging of the unified body back into the one Creator? And can you comment on that?
I am Kuo, and am aware of your query, my brother. We have been referring, as you are mostly correct in assuming to the journey that entities take through the densities of light and experience that are the path of the Creator to the Creator. These densities of light offer larger and larger arenas, shall we say, in which each seeker might seek, know, and express the truth of its own beingness. When this experience has been carried out to the extent that the density of foreverness has been achieved, that in your numbering is 7, then the entity begins to turn in full to the rejoining of the one Creator, leaving the, shall we say, a personality gained as a seed for further growth by the one Creator. The movement into total unity is that movement which includes what we see you have called the eighth density, or that which is likened unto the black hole, which draws all into it in a manner that is completely unified, and begins again the great cycle of creation upon another level of vibration. Is there a further query, my brother?
Yes. Are you saying that the universe, the entire universe, will coalesce and collapse back in to form a black hole? Or are you giving this as just an analogy of the spiritual realm to that physical process?
I am. And if we are correct in grasping your query, my brother, we would say that both assumptions are correct. For the phenomenon which you know of as the black hole is but the completion of experience in one octave of densities that is as the seed for a further octave of densities on the, shall we say, other side of the black hole, so called. Is there another query, my brother?
Quote, in what sense are we now all one? We hear the expression made very often that we are all one, that everything is one, but this is so general. Now, in what sense are we all one? Because we evidently have different personalities, different experiences of this illusion of which you spoke to Carla. So would you comment then on saying on this idea of oneness, and how extensive is that?
I am Qual. I am aware of your query, my brother. And we would suggest that the nature of this unity is complete. You are likened unto actors upon the stage who, though remembering their lines, forget their true personality, and at some point in the drama shall remember and shall aid others in their remembering. By their very essence and the nature of their being. Is there another query, my brother? And we would ask if there might be another query at this time.
I have one question. Knowing that everything and all is illusion, including these inquiries and everything, which rather I term as joke, and knowing this free will or freeness of everything, and yet knowing there is no such thing as freedom, how do you prefer to see this job? And if you can comment, how your inertia pushed to that preference point?
I am Kuo, and we believe that we grasp your query, my brother. And our preference as a point from which to view our experience and our universe is one of what you might call playful curiosity. We are infinitely amazed at the intricacy yet the simplicity of all creation. Is there a further query, my brother?
Not at this moment. Thank you very much. And it smells very nice.
I am Kuo, and we are grateful to you, my brother, and would also say that the scent of this group is most intoxicating to us as well. Is there a final query at this time?
Many thanks, Kuo.
Thank you, Kuo.
I am Kuo, and we shall add our gratitude to that which has been so generously offered to us. At this time, we shall take our leave of this instrument and this group, rejoicing in the love and in the light which has been brought forth by each. We are known to you as those of Kuo. Adonai, my friends. Adonai.